Holly G with the Golf Insiders. We have all kinds of golf going on this week and weekend, and we're going to start off with what's happening in the world of LIV Golf and check in with Bob Herrig from SI.com, who is live at LIV Golf Miami in Doral Golf Club in the lovely Sunshine State. Hello, Bob.
Hello there. How are you doing today?
Well, we got a lot going on. It just doesn't seem to stop. But there were some pretty interesting press conferences at the start of the week. The boys tee off, the LIV Golf teams tee off this afternoon. But what were your biggest takeaways? Bryson DeChambeau, of course, is there. Brooks Koepka. What were your noticeable takeaways?
Well, look, from a golf perspective, just, you know, an inside the ropes perspective, we've got 13 guys here who are playing in the Masters next week. And, you know, frankly, that's a big reason I came, including the defending champion, Jon Rahm. So, you know, I mean, we haven't seen these guys for a while. They have not played domestically. And so there was good reason to try to catch up with them for a lot of reasons, you know, relating to the golf. They're going to be playing in the first major next year. And, you know, let's be honest, three of their guys finished 1-2 and 1-2 last year at the Masters. So, and another one finished fourth or fifth. That was Patrick Reed. So, from that standpoint, you know, it's kind of good to see where they're at. Obviously there's a lot of outside the ropes chatter as well. And you're hearing from these guys who have been asked the question that we asked the guys on the PGA Tour, which is, where are we in the game of golf right now, and what do you want to see? And you were sort of getting the same answers on both sides, which is, we'd like to see some resolution to where we're at in the game with the top players not playing together enough. And while I completely understand the pushback, there is a lot of irony in that when these are the guys who left and caused this issue to begin with, I think it's a bigger story, or actually a bigger issue than just that. We've known that for a while. We've known the reasons why they left. There's a lot of money that they were offered. There have been cries for taking care of the stars for years. And now you're seeing that happen. You know, it's happening on the PGA Tour. And it's controversial. These signature events were basically done as a response to LIV Golf, to get more money to the top players. No cut events, five of them are anyway. Plus, you've got all three playoff events that don't have a cut. It's a lucrative thing that's occurred now at both places. And it probably wouldn't have happened. At least Phil Mickelson thinks it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for LIV. So it happened. Here we are. Now what? I know that, well, hey, they shouldn't have left. Well, the problem is they did, and it's divided. And now the sides need to figure out how to work something out. And I'm not suggesting that they allow LIV guys to come back to the PGA Tour en masse without any repercussions. And I don't think that's what they're suggesting either. I think what they're suggesting is an alternative form of competition that brings everybody together, and maybe LIV and PGA Tour still operate separately. What that would look like is still up in the air, but I think that's sort of what we're hearing and what would need to happen. And if we get to that point, it'll be pretty interesting.
So the big buzz over the last few weeks, I think, that's starting to have the trickle-down effect, Bob, is that professional golf is, quote, a broken product. PGA Tour ratings are down. Fan interest is beginning to dwindle. That's not good stuff for the game.
No, it's not. And, I mean, there's, I think, a couple of reasons for this. There is, you know, no matter what anybody says at LIV, their ratings are not good. They are not. You know, I've given them every chance. I've gone to a bunch of their events. I try to be Switzerland in this whole thing. I want to learn what they're about. But you know, it's not really caught on with the masses. There's a lot of derision. A lot of people don't like the team thing, or they don't understand it. I understand it. It doesn't really bother me. It's fine. You know, it's, you add up the scores and you have a team thing. And frankly, if they were to ever come under the PGA Tour banner, the tour is going to need to make money. Selling those teams is a way to make money. And it won't, they're not going to get a lot for them unless it's accepted by the tour. So how that would happen, would they lessen their events, whatever, possibly there. But the bottom line is, it's not like people are flocking to watch LIV. And then the PGA Tour ratings are down. There's a lot of reasons for that, I think. One is people are tired of all the money talk. That is, you know, look, we've heard a ton of it with LIV, which has been off-putting. And then the PGA Tour gets this deal with SSG to pump in $1.5 billion. What's the first thing we hear? Oh, wow, all the players are going to get equity in the PGA Tour. They're going to get this, you know, these huge payoffs.
Nesting.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, great. That's awesome. Well, what does it mean for us? You know, what are we, the fans get out of that? We don't know. They haven't told us. You know, so that's one aspect. I think the other aspect is, it's been a bit of a weird year on the PGA Tour. We've had some weather issues. We've not had stars winning. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. And, you know, in the media game, we talk about the whole idea of stars and stories, and we want both. You know, like an amateur winning a PGA Tour event is a huge story. I think it's an incredible story that Nick Dunlop won the American Express. First amateur in more than 30 years. That's amazing.
Absolutely.
But he does not resonate really because he's not a star. Like and the fact that he's not done much since doesn't help. Even though, look, that's so, like, it's not surprising at all that he hasn't done that much since. He's 20 years old. He's going to have some growing pains. But we've had other good stories. You know, Grayson Murray came out of nowhere to win. He's not played very well since. Matthew Pavon barely got on the PGA Tour through the DP World Tour. He'd only played 3 PGA Tour events, and then he wins at Torrey Pines. Now, that's a good story. But the problem is that name doesn't, like, make you flock to your TV because it's not the stars. We don't have Ricky Fowler up there every week. We don't have Jordan Spieth. We haven't had Cantlay. We haven't had Schauffele, although Schauffele was at the Players, as was Scheffler. That was, you know, really the Players' Championship might have been the first, you know, and Wyndham Clark. That might have been the first tournament of the year. Bay Hill was too, because Scottie Scheffler won, where we had a bunch of names on the leaderboard and it was compelling. But even those events saw their ratings dip. You know, I mean, so what's going on? You know, well, you don't have John Rahm in those tournaments. You don't have Tyrrell Hatton. They both played last year. The year before, Cam Smith won the Players. You know, and I think missing some of those guys has hurt. So there's a lot of things going on. Next week, the Masters is going to be really interesting. Are the ratings as good as they always are for the Masters? Does everybody tune in? If there's a drop-off there, then that's really a sign to me. Like, and frankly, it's a sign either way. If the ratings are really, really good, it tells you, you know, people still tune into the biggest tournaments, and they want to see all the top guys. If the ratings are bad, that means people are really kind of turned off by the whole thing, and they're not even watching the Masters.
That will be very interesting to see. You wrote a great piece on Anthony Kim, and apparently there's going to be a documentary on Anthony and his journey over the last 12 years? But it was remarkable to hear you write about some of the things that he didn't even know, you know, that Brooks Koepka had won, and some technology over the last 10 years that have developed, including even how the rules have changed. I mean, it was fascinating.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of pushback and blowback on that. I'm like, what do you guys expect? You know, he's hinted at a troubled life. He's had 7 surgeries, he said. He's had addiction issues. He's had health issues. Clearly something was going on that he's saving for this documentary. So would it be a surprise that he really wasn't paying attention to the world of golf, this lucrative world that he left? I don't know why people are so stunned by that. I just found it interesting. Like, you kind of had to be under a rock to not know in golf that Brooks Koepka won a bunch of majors, or that, you know, Tiger Woods won the Masters 5 years ago. And he didn't say he didn't know that. He said, yeah, I heard about it. But look, you know, I wasn't paying attention to golf then. I had a lot of things going on. I mean, that to me is not, it's really interesting. And it is somewhat surprising, but his backstory is so, you know, bizarre that it really shouldn't be that big of a surprise. He's been, there's a reason he was gone.
And hopefully this documentary will shed some light on that. And he said also that hopefully it will inspire some people and perhaps give some understanding to the journey he's been through. There is another tournament going on, the Valero Open. Some interesting golf out there yesterday, Bob. Jordan Spieth having a hole in one after having, a quad on the hole before or something? He had quite a roller coaster round, and Rory having a decent day. How do you see the Valero shaping up here?
It's the last chance to get in the Masters. If you're not in, there's a bunch of guys in that tournament, I think over 100, who are not in the Masters. Obviously, a win, that's the only way now. And then you've got some guys who are trying to sharpen their game for next week. You know, I think this is kind of a big week for Rory. Like, not that he needs to win or not that he needs to contend, just that he needs to get some things straightened out, like just sort of, you know, figuring out his swing. You know, like, I watched a little bit yesterday, and it looked like he was hitting some better iron shots. That had been his thing he was kind of, you know, lamenting going into the Players. Then at the Players, he got a lot of that straightened out, and he kept missing with his driver. He hit, I don't know how many, 3 or 4 water balls at the Players, and he still, like, was second in the field in birdies for the week. There's still a lot of good golf in there with Rory, but he's got to avoid the mistakes. And look, next Thursday, you know, is a really, really big day for Rory. I hope for his sake he gets a morning tee time and then he gets off to a decent start. Like, he doesn't have to shoot 65. He doesn't have to even shoot 68. Just, like, be around or under par. Like, be patient. Shoot 69 or 70, 71, depending on the conditions, and be in touch. Last year, he was over par. The leaders were Koepka and Rahm. They had both shot 65. And you're like 9 behind already. Of course, you're going to get antsy. And then, of course, he missed the cut. You know, Roy needs to be able to allow himself to not take so many chances. It's his nature. He likes to fire at pins. It doesn't really work at Augusta. You got to hit a lot of greens. And so I think having a good week with the irons this week would really help him in that regard, even though, you know, the golf courses aren't anywhere near similar.
So, other news, Justin Thomas splitting with Jim Bones Mackay, his caddy, who, of course, was Phil Mickelson's caddy for decades. What's going on there? Is Bones going back to TV, or was this amicable?
Good questions, of which I don't have any answers yet. I get the sense it was amicable. I doubt there was any kind of a rift. I'd be surprised if that was the case. I just think that JT has gotten to a point where, like, sometimes you make a change to make a change. You certainly wouldn't make a change because Bones was doing anything wrong. You know, he's one of the best out there. And, you know, frankly, the timing of it is surprising.
I don't think he needs to change his caddy. He needs to change his putter. Or is putting, or talk to Scotty, or something.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been messing with that. He was doing the aim point. He had a putting coach. Then he didn't have a putting coach. I have a feeling that his swing is off too. You know, when you're struggling with your putter, then you try to hit it closer,
right?
And then that exasperates it. But you know, Bones couldn't make the putts for him, and certainly you don't want to be relying on your caddy to read them and then blame them if that's the issue. You know, so I just think the timing is weird. Bones knows Augusta as well as anybody. I mean, you know,
that was my thought. That was my thought. Yeah. Like, why coming into a major?
He's you know, maybe he felt like if it was inevitable, I better just go ahead and pull the trigger. But on the other hand, you know, he's playing the next week at Hilton Head. And maybe he just wanted to start getting used to a new guy. But I just found the timing odd, and you know, one of the reasons that these guys have been so successful is because they don't make these kind of, and I don't mean to say it was a haphazard change. He might have been thinking about it for a while. Who knows? But you know, it kind of looks that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tiger had the same caddy for years. Phil had the same caddy for years. Even when Phil and Bones split up, look how long it's been. It's been years.
Yeah.
It's been 7 years that he's had his brother caddy for him.
Yeah.
You know, and And you know, a lot of guys have been that way. You know, they've had the same guy for years and years. Sometimes they make changes, but they don't do it very often. And so here we are. And so that's why I'm a little surprised. I mean, look at Jordan Spieth, all the ups and downs he's had. He's never changed his caddy. You know, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. Like, it's on you. You know, it's on you. And you've got a really good caddy. And now listen, the guy he's got, Matt Minister, is a good caddy too. They haven't been together. Like, they, you know, clearly that means JT's got to do it all on his own next week. Yeah, you know, he's got a certain, you know, obviously his caddy can help him with the yardage and things like that. But, like, he doesn't know his game, you know. So, is Matt Minister, like, going to call him off a club on the 12th tee if the wind's blowing? You know, it's all on
Heck
him.
No.
You know?
Yeah, so speaking of Tiger, what's the latest? And when does he have to say, I'm coming or I'm not?
He doesn't have to say anything. He's in the field. He's listed in the field. He's not pulled himself out. So the expectation is he's going to be there. He went there last Saturday to play practice round. That's a good sign. I have no doubts that he'll be there Sunday afternoon or Monday. And then we go from there.
Game time decision?
No, I don't think so. I'd be surprised if there's any, you know, like, I think he's playing. You know, I don't even know that he'll say anything. Like, I have a feeling he's going to have a Tuesday news conference like he usually does. And, you know, we've got a million questions and we're only going to get a half hour to ask him, you know, and we need 3 hours.
Right.
You know, so, you know, he'll get asked why he didn't play the Players. He'll get asked about his situation with his back, his leg. You know, how confident are you? How much have you been practicing? He'll get asked about Liv. He'll get asked about the negotiations. You know, there's so many things we want to talk to him about, and there's not going to be enough time.
He should just have his doctor zoom in and give the 2-minute medical update, and then you're past it all.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
All right, so as we are turning the corner, heading to Magnolia Lane and the Azaleas here.
Well, certainly, you know, we're going to find out what the weather's going to have an impact. Scottie Scheffler is going to be a huge favorite going in. It's been a weird year with not a lot of named players other than him stepping up and playing well. I think Brooks Koepka is going to be interesting to watch. You know, his game is geared for the majors. That's when he shows up. We've not seen, you know, he's been fine, but nothing great. And so let's see how he does next week.
Do you think, I mean, for a guy like Brooks, like you said, he gears up. Do you think that gives him an advantage over some of the other guys? Bryson, a DJ, certainly John Rahm, or, you know, do they just step up?
Well, I actually think that it's not as much of an issue as we thought. Last year, they only played 3 times going into the Masters, and, you know, you still had, what, 4 guys in the top 5.
True.
This year, they'll have played 5, you know, and they're playing the week before again on a tough golf course, but only 3 rounds, you know, with pretty good weather. So I don't really think that that's that big of a deal. You know, that they played Hong Kong, which is the week of Bay Hill. Some guys played the week after Bay Hill and haven't played again, you know, who are going to play the match. So, like, I don't necessarily think they're any less seasoned than anybody on the PGA Tour, you know. So I don't think those are big issues anymore. Now, maybe for some guys, you know, they get out of a rhythm a little bit. You know, Rahm last year played. He played the Players where he didn't. He withdrew due to illness. He didn't have a great week at Bay Hill. And he didn't have a great match play, which was the same week this year as what Houston is. So, but he didn't play the week before the Masters, and this year he is. I just don't know that it matters that much. You know, that was a big, big thought, that they wouldn't be as sharp. And yet, you know, a bunch of their guys were just fine.
I guess that's why they're the best of the best, and that's why we miss them, Bob. It'll be good to see them all back playing under the beautiful Magnolias. Throw your dart. Who's winning at the Valero this weekend?
I see Max Homa's up there. That's, you know, not a bad pick. He's a bit due.
I like
So
Max. I like it.
put himself in position. I think that's a good thing for him.
And I'm liking Batia. You know, it's nice and refreshing to see a new lefty out there.
No question. Yep. He's been up there a few times knocking on the door, so the more he keeps doing that, the better.
All right, and let's hear it for a guy who wears glasses. I can
Yep.
relate. All right, Bob, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you up at Augusta.
Sounds great. Thank you.